and to all our fans, welcome back. You're listening to episode 91 of What's on Joe Mind. It is also episode 16 of the Joe Customs podcast, and episode number 500,196 of Dave and Duvall's A Toy World Order.
Yay!
Again, I'm Mike. With me again is a number one Joe fan, Justin Bell.
Good morning.
You also have Dan Casa of the Joe Customs podcast. Say hi, Dan.
Hi. It's actually Koza, but that's close enough. Everybody messes it up.
Right. Add me that. I'm not going to butcher your name as much as I'm going to butcher P-Love's name.
Yeah, it's like if you got problems with that, you're never going to get this one.
So we're just going to call him. We're just going to call him P-Love or John.
How's it going?
Doing well. And of course, joining us again, our guest host from episode 90, Dave Draper from Dave and Duvall's Collection Extravaganza Bonanza Hootenanny.
Fofanza. Me, my Momanza.
Hootenanny.
Hootenanny.
Not going to say hello?
Hello.
All right, fine. Be that way.
I will.
But we just, a number of months ago, we got together. We decided we were going to do a roundtable discussion, figure out. We don't do a lot with customs on What's on Joe Mind. We don't. We are not customizers by nature. We try. We fail. Justin, I know, has grand delusions of being a customizer. He in his high school years, he taped X-Acto knives to all of his fingers, called himself Justin X-Acto Hands. It's like a terrible, terrible Tim Burton movie.
Yeah, Winona Ryder loved it.
No, she didn't. That was a restraining order, Justin. That was not a love note.
You know, Justin was actually one of the customizers I kind of looked up to when I was first starting out.
See, suck it there, Irizarry.
Well, again, when he was first starting out and didn't have any taste, sure. Actually, Justin has done a few. He's done some good work, really. He keeps it kind of low profile. But
my first website out on the rockin' angelfire.com network was to show off my customs. So.
Is it still there?
No, I think most Angel Fire stuff is deceased.
Floating around somewhere in.
I bet you if you went to the one of those Internet Archive sites, you could probably find. If you look for Angel Fire, I think it was like Cool G.I. Joe Stuff or something. AngelFire.com/CoolGIJoeStuff or something like that. I don't know if you can still find it or not. But
what were you, 12?
Yes.
All right. But
yes, Angel Fire was around in 1986 when I was 12.
And Dave, of course, was talking a little bit before we started the show about his attempts, and we'll get into that a little bit later.
His attempts with desecrating My Little Ponies.
Correct.
No, I've never. I don't think I've ever actually touched one of those things. Literally.
Yeah.
But I have massacred a few innocent Star Wars figures and done some sad G.I. Joe customs, particularly the O-ring era where it was, you know,
it's a free for all.
Unscrew it and you swap parts. That's about my level.
Yeah, anybody who bought G.I. Joe figures in the 80s, if you didn't customize those to some degree, there was something wrong with you because they made it so damn easy.
Yeah. Special note to Chuck on that one.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We're thinking of you on that one, big guy.
Well, I think Chuck is living proof that something is wrong with him, so I'm not too surprised.
So, gentlemen, let's steer it back towards the professionals. John, you run the Joe Customs website. Obviously, you're elbow deep in this stuff. What got you started? Decided that the stuff that the good people at Hasbro wasn't nearly good enough for us. Needed to make your own.
It actually had nothing to do with that.
I know. As I railroad him into some bull.
It was 1985. I was like eight, not even eight. So
he's singing, "Damn it, Hasbro!" in the middle of the freaking child world aisle.
Crimson Guards were coming out at the time on the shelves, and you remember the toy shelves in the 80s. There wasn't like, man, why isn't there enough shelf space for these toys?
He was complaining about distribution.
Even back then, she's on the back of the package. Why can't I find Jinx? What the hell, Hasbro? No, it started with
the
back.
She was coming at Comic-Con. Anyway, sorry. I won't interrupt you anymore, I promise.
Could you imagine those conversations when we were kids sitting around the sandbox? I had to wait in line all day. All day.
Hasbro Toy Shop was down.
Oh. They need to release a Terradrome. Oh, wait, they did. Never mind.
It's over there on aisle 12.
Yeah.
I'll wait for Ross.
So my brother showed me, like, how you undo the back screw. And as soon as that, like, changed everything, like, the stalker with the broken thumb, all of a sudden, you know, I was putting grunt hands on him and going, well, okay, he had tan gloves, but, you know, and, you know, took all the broken figures I had and I cobbled together different figures. In fact, I posted a remake that's going up on the site tomorrow of a mercenary character I'd come up with ripcord arms and legs and a wild weasel torso that I called Cool Kid.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, that Cool Kid went on to become the Steel Brigade. So, it was just that mixing and the matching. It was like, well, that just opened up all the avenues, you know?
Mm. And, my first custom, I think, was... It was weird. I think I seem to remember getting a like pile of parts from a friend of mine who had started taking them apart and just kind of piled all these parts together. And I took these parts and I assembled them and made a guy who I was calling Mad Dog, who was this awesome custom. And until I realized that it was basically just Clutch, I'd managed to find all of Clutch's loose parts and put them together and called him Mad Dog and thought he was this great new custom character. And then I got the Vamp and I was like, oh, this guy is actually a real figure.
How about you, Dan?
My first custom that I can actually remember doing was when I got Torpedo version 1 in whatever it was, late 82, early 83, and the card art showed him with a hose going from his regulator to his backpack. And of course, as you know, that figure did not have one.
No.
So I created a hose. I found this little tiny ribbed hose that was off some car part or something. It was probably a little overscaled, you know, as I look back on it now, but it was close enough to what was depicted in the card art. And I drove a little tiny nail into the side of his rebreather and a little tiny nail into the side of his backpack and attached the hose, and there we go. I had, you know, wetsuit with a, I had Torpedo with a hose on it. And that opened up a whole new avenue of looking at the card art and seeing, all right, what did Hasbro not do that's on the artwork? And then I went in, I painted, you know, Duke's, the flying airborne wings he had on his chest and all sorts of little things that Hasbro missed, I went in and did. And that's where my customizing started. And then from there, it was just like everybody else, taking figures apart, putting them together, making new characters.
Very cool. That's kind of a hardcore beginning.
I know. Hey, man. Cutting and...
Even as a kid, very, very attentive to details.
We took a nail and just drove it in Torpedo's head.
I just can't believe you got away with hose for Joe's.
I was about to say, I'm staying away from the guy who's driving nails into things.
That's hardcore New Jersey right there.
Very true.
Yeah, mine was my story was kind of like John's actually. There was of course, you know, my brother Rob and I were in for the very beginning. I had a Flash figure and a Steeler figure that had broken down in some way, shape, or form, and just kind of combined the two of them together and put them with some different accessories. And I forget what we called him because he had a couple of different names. It was basically Stalker's body with Flash's head, colored the hands black with a permanent marker to make gloves. And we gave him different gear as was necessary. We used him as Steeler sometimes. Like Steeler in his jungle camo, he'd put the helmet with the visor on him. But he filled a different all kinds of different purposes. If we needed a green shirt, he was a green shirt. If we needed just whatever, he was just this guy. But he got a lot of use for a dude without an official name or an official role. He was certainly out on the battlefield a lot.
Did you and your brother fight for him? Like, was he that popular?
No, but me and my brother didn't fight about a whole lot, so it wasn't that. That's almost not fair. He just like he was never the star. He was just this wonderful little supporting actor that we both recognized had a lot of sticking power. I guess I don't know. It just cause it, he really, as I think back, we never really gave that guy the spotlight. He was always the dude with the clipboard, or the guy laying down cover fire, or the guy in the the helicopter that crashed or something, or occasionally Jungle Stealer.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, again, he was almost so useful as a generic guy that he worked better that way. You know, it's like if we had given him a personality, it would have stuck, and then we would have, you know, would have hampered things, I guess. I don't know.
My brother was always the type to take Boba Fett and give me Hammerhead and be like, there you go.
No. Joe is different than Star Wars in that people like Joes.
Hey now.
Hey, you're talking to a guy with 10,000 Star Wars figures in his house.
Yeah, I've seen Dave's house. He's not far behind you. We had our different favorites. So, I mean, there were certain guys like I was never Snake Eyes when we played because that was Rob's favorite guy. So my 85 Snake Eyes figure is pretty pristine. Similarly, he was never Beachhead. He was rarely Flash. He was never Footloose. He was usually not Mutt. Again, I just had my favorite four or five guys that were always the first ones out of the box when we would start playing. We didn't fight over stuff like that too much. No, Dave, you have any customizing memories?
A few. The first one that I really remember is a Star Wars figure. It's kind of sad, actually. We took an X-Wing Luke, and we took a marker, and we drew a little mustache on him, and that was Biggs.
Biggs Darklighter, ladies and gentlemen.
But the Joe one that I really remember is there was this whole epic storyline about how a Red Dog from Slaughter's Renegades was a traitor. And, like, double-crossed everybody and then went over to Cobra and became, like, the leader of the Crimson Guard. So it was Red Dog's head on the Crimson Guard body. So there was this whole storyline about him double-crossing everybody and going over and getting promoted. And then, of course, they had to get their payback on him.
Nice. See, that's what would have happened if we had given Jungle Stealer a persona. He's still around somewhere. I got to find him. But as we've been doing on the last few R episodes, and so we're going to subject you guys to this, even though it is a joint podcast between the two of us, we've been going through, and as we encounter various years or various, well, as the numbers of our episodes match the years that G.I. Joe was released, A Real American Hero was released in retail, we've been going through and picking out our favorite figure and vehicle from that year. Of course, this is episode 91, so we are going to be going after our favorite figures and vehicles from 1991. And getting no assist from the peanut gallery.
Sorry, I'm like going to go run get my guidebook so I can see what was... You kind of sprung that on me, Rosari.
Well, you know, because you weren't here for episode 90. You had no idea that was coming.
Yeah.
Oh, Draper just got snapped.
I had to do the same thing. I had to click on Yojo real quick. And,
that's all right. That's all
for
right.
For me, it was Tracker. I know he had the stupid little football outfit, but... You know, he had the cool visor and the inflatable raft and his bio about, like, having to go out and find Snake Eyes and being one of the only Joes that could actually do that. And, of course, being a Navy SEAL on top of all of that. I remember being in love with that figure. You know, at that point, I wasn't buying a lot of G.I. Joes, but I remember that figure, getting him in the store and being like, oh, this guy is so cool.
I remember, especially with Tracker, I think, you know, in 91, I was a little bit old enough to understand, like, what the Navy SEALs were all about. And it was around at that point where I got all pissed off. I was like, you know, damn it, Hasbro, can you just make, like, a normal Navy SEAL? They all look ridiculous. But I still like Tracker, too. I thought it was cool. He's got those crazy kind of bionic shoes going on and everything. But
For the record, Justin was 28 years old in 1991.
Yes. But my favorite figure from 91, that's really tough. I mean, in 1990, Hasbro pulled out pretty much all the stops of the bunch of new characters. In 91, they went back and kind of covered a lot of the old bases again and did a lot of really cool stuff. I think it's pretty close between either Crimson Guard or Mortal or Lowlight. I think I'll take the plunge and say Lowlight just because his helmet and visor were much better than Crimson Guard or Mortal's goofy rocket launcher gun. But so I would say Lowlight's probably my favorite of 91.
I thought for sure you were going to say Interrogator.
Interrogator's pretty damn cool, too. He's a tough one to ignore. I like Interrogator mostly because he's such an unexplored character. I mean, the figure's awesome, too, but most of my love for him is just because nobody really has a background for him, so that's why he was always appealed to me. But the figure is pretty awesome. I will give you that.
How about you, Dan?
91, I wasn't collecting Joes at that point. I was 18 years old. I had graduated high school and wasn't back into the collecting fold yet. I was still customizing a little bit here and there, but for the most part, I entered the workforce and was working. But I do remember seeing Cesspool on the shelves. I thought he was so cool looking with the scarred face and the giant acid-spitting chainsaw. So I would have to go with Cesspool for that year.
And 91 was a great year.
Dave, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, I was going to say Cesspool as well. In fact, we were talking on episode 90 about the subscription figures and how Cesspool was one of my favorite figures. So I will second the love for Cesspool.
Yeah, there were a number of really cool figures out there in 91. There were kind of some second stringers as well, but we won't get into that. But the second version of Toxo Viper was out there.
Mm-hmm.
That really cool Sonic Fighter Major Blood was out there.
Oh yeah.
Interrogator was already mentioned. Of course, everybody loves Clean Sweep. Wait, nobody loves Clean Sweep. Clean Sweep. You know, the Desert Scorpion was there. Justin already mentioned the Crimson Guard Immortal and Lowlight. The second version of So Serpent was out there. You had Snake Eyes out there. When it all comes down to it, I totally lost my train of thought there.
You were going to say Sonic Fighter Road Pig.
I was going to say Sonic Fighter Road Pig with his neon green and orange flat top. No, I was actually going to go with the Major Blood figure. Just a nice – it was almost like they were trying to recapture an iconic look for him and a little bit more of a functional color scheme than black and brown, which would probably in the big picture have done Major Blood some favors. I'm not sure how much better the dark blue with the black and then the bright yellow trim and the silver grenades goes as far as making an iconic look. But it was still a pretty cool, pretty functional figure. Kept enough of the original and did a lot, you know, changed a lot of things up going forward. So it was, I thought he was pretty neat. Collecting wise at the time, I was done with him too. Oh shoot, there's Heavy Duties in the middle of that. He was kind of a nice throwback kind of figure in that line as well. So we'll move on. Go ahead.
I do like Major Blood's backpack. I know it was a big oversized backpack, but it's just got some cool details on it. And Skymate.
Oh my God, Skymate, yeah.
Now both of our Australian fans love you, but Skymate sucks.
Skymate does not suck. Shut your mouth.
Oh, come on. Any guy that gets to walk around going, hey, let me show you my pink boomerang. You got to appreciate that.
And now moving on to the vehicles portion of the segment, things get a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah.
This is kind of where the air got out of this particular segment, is those late vehicles were really a crying shame. But we'll throw it back to Mr. Pilov. How about those 1991 vehicles?
All right then.
Cricket chirp.
All right. Oh, sorry, I had it muted. Skymate's glider. No, but seriously, it actually kind of captured that same green camo scheme from the original G.I. Joe glider, only you could actually throw it and pick it up and not have it fall apart. So I definitely love that thing. I still have it. So, yeah.
All right. Justin.
I guess if I have to choose, I will go with the Paralyzer. It's a nasty shade of orange, but I kind of like the dual treads and that big cannon, and it's not a terrible vehicle.
Okay. Dan.
I'd have to go with the Paralyzer as well. I never had the original, but in a parts lot a couple of years back, well, probably more like 15 years back, I got the green recolor from the Street Fighter line.
Yep.
And it's actually a cool little tank that I'm planning on modifying into some form of Star Wars battle tank at some point. The only thing I don't like about it is the fact that there's really no bottom to it. It's almost like a single stamp. Yeah. The figure's feet hang out the bottom, but I'll rectify that when I customize it. The only other thing I can even relate to at all is I have about a half an Ice Saber sitting in one of my boxes in the garage. So the rest I can't really comment on.
The Ice Saber is probably my second choice out of the
Flintstones attack tank, the Paralyzer.
Yep. I'll tell you, the green recolor looked a lot better than the orange one.
Yes.
And Dave, how about you?
You know, I'm going to vote for the septic tank just because you get to say septic tank.
That's a sound logic.
I'm going to stick with...
It's also the only one I own out of all these, so...
I'm going to stick with that one, and that it's the closest thing to an iconic vehicle from 91 that's out there. Of course, my true favorite would be the reissue of the Wolf with the Black Torpedoes that they did for Hasbro.
Mail order, man. Does that count?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. But that's just how bad the vehicles were, is that I'm going with a mail order. Mail order miscoloration. And that was the year that was. 1991. So we'll settle in. The plan was for our main segment with
plan.
With
John. You know, there was no plan.
Well, plan in the sense that I think Gary said something about it 6 weeks ago. And then it was never mentioned again.
Took the night off.
And then wasn't here for the recording, but that's fine. Nobody's keeping score.
Oh, I'm keeping score.
Justin's keeping score. Justin's totally keeping score. But just to have a talk and try and figure out what makes the customizing element click, because again, it's not something we touch on very much on our program, and to let those guys, maybe figure out why we don't customize. So
hey, why don't you guys customize?
Well, I know why I don't. Because I'm untalented. That's why I don't. I have no skill.
That's not true. Even Justin started out untalented at one point.
And he's
carried that banner for quite some time.
No, I think people honestly, like when they're trying their hand at it, they see like the best customizers out there at the time. And they're like, well, what I'm doing isn't anything like what they're doing. Not realizing when you start out, everybody's looks like that. Mm-hmm. You know, the only people that seem to be able to customize G.I. Joes right off the bat are people who've already customized something else or already have like an art background.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're first doing anything like that, it all starts off not looking good.
Yeah, there's definitely a learning curve involved. Everybody started off doing very amateurish customs. The paint was barely able to stay inside the lines. Parts that were glued together weren't 100% straight. We all did it, and it just took years to develop to our current skill sets. And I've been customizing since I was probably about 10 years old. I'm going to be 41 this year, so I've been doing it for a long time. And a lot of the new people can get intimidated by the fact that there's guys who have been doing it for decades. But they don't realize that we've been doing it for decades, and they don't understand why their material doesn't look like ours, right out the gate.
Right.
So it can be very, very imposing.
I mean, even the professionals don't get it right. I mean, some of the real American hero female heads, those are some ugly females, and the new sculpt torsos, the legs were what would have been the equivalent of 4 feet, and the torsos were equivalent of a foot and a half. Even the pros get it wrong sometimes. So it's a craft that just the more times you do it, the better it gets.
And really, it's all about just kind of practice and getting better and not being afraid to take chances and stuff. I mean, it goes along with any kind of artistic endeavor, really, whether it's writing or diorama building or customizing or
anything like that. You know, it's easy to kind of get frustrated with it, the process, when, like Dan said, you see somebody, or I think John said it, you see somebody who's, you know, a fantastic customer. You know, somebody, obviously, if somebody's work is good enough to inspire you to try it yourself, it must be pretty damn good. And so you try it yourself, and it doesn't look like what you see on the screen, and it can be discouraging. But the important thing is that you just keep trying. I mean, it's really all you can do, and that's all I did way back when I was doing customizing, and you know, now I'm doing focusing more on dial building and stuff, and it's just if you think it's not working the way you want it to do it, just try it again or try it more and see if you can get it there.
The diorama building, how is the Darkness Falls diorama coming?
Oh, it's going great. I've been spending a lot of time kind of building sets recently. I've you know, kind of my latest project. Set building has been one of my least favorite parts of doing the Dio stories, you know, building the actual diorama sets for the figures. And, you know, I hated it so much. I, in fact, mostly enlisted other people to do it for me throughout the years, especially Joe Customs alumnus, like Capolin, who does some fantastic work. He did some stuff for me. And you know, I just, this time around, I had really had a specific thought in my mind and wanted to build it. And that's kind of segues into our conversation pretty nicely, because I've never really done a really in-depth diorama build before, and I've been hanging out over on there's a Facebook group called Dio Structure, who's got a lot of pictures and stuff, and they kind of focus on using pink insulation foam to build these really elaborate, nicely weathered sets and dioramas, mostly for their Marvel Legends stuff. But I kind of took some of those ideas, and it's coming out really nice. You know, when I started the project, I was like, you know, I know it's not going to turn out like I want it to turn out. It's not going to look like the guys on this Facebook group, but I'm going to give it a try and use some of their techniques and just give it my best shot. And it's turned out really nicely. And, you know, I've got, you know, probably another couple days worth of building left on this. And I've actually got, for the Dio story itself, I've got 20 episodes almost all completely done. So, you know, I could probably start uploading tomorrow if I wanted to, but I just want to make sure I've got enough buffer room to do it weekly. So I'm, you know, pushing it off for a little while to get some more episodes done and hopefully start rolling them out in April. And I'm pretty excited to get going. I think it's a really fun story. I've had a lot of fun writing it up, and I think I'm going to have fun making the rest of it.
You've come a long way from chapter one when Cobra had the Joes trapped in a giant bookcase.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I'm surprised anybody remembers that. That was over on that Angel Flyer site I talked about earlier. But yeah, I had my first story was 2000 Toys R Us 2-packs or whatever with a Locust, and yeah, over on my bookcase. That was good times back then.
The bookcase of doom.
Yeah.
So, let's say you guys, either one of our guests, you're inspired with a project. You decide, hey, I'm going to make an Arctic grunt. You know, so about how much time do you spend in each part of the process?
Well, I tend to build stuff really fast. So I'd probably get the entire build done in one day, but then I procrastinate for a couple of weeks before I sat down to paint it. And then the paint would probably – I'd probably knock it out about 12, 16 hours depending on the complexity, because I like to paint all the little tiny details, all the little rivets, all the little you know, wires, everything.
You like to put nails in Torpedo's head.
That's how it all started. But if anybody's ever seen my custom like protocol droids, all those exposed wires on 3PO's midsection and on his palms and on the backs of his knees, I paint all those by hand. Everything is done, you know, 000 brushes and very steady hand.
Yeesh.
So it takes a long time to paint anything.
Not me. I outsource that stuff to China.
Just like Hasbro.
I'm a bit more of a procrastinator. I have more time away from customizing than I do with the parts and tools in front of me. So it usually starts off with the concept. You know, what gear is he going to have? What are his boots going to look like? So I kind of do more research than I actually do customizing. And then I kind of like sketch it up and then try to figure out what parts I need or have that kind of match my image. And then procrastinate some more, then try to break off, like I'll do a bunch of painting you know, one Saturday when the wife has a kid, and then try to do sculpting one night after everyone's in bed. So it gets broken up way more than Dan's process, but when it comes out, it's something where either I'm really proud of it or really not. No one will know because it'll never get seen.
And as far as you gentlemen as specifically go, we know, of course, I've had the joy of working with a noted Joe Customs alumnus, Nova, Brian Kaufman, has been helping us out with our CoilCon projects this year, specifically with some of the casting stuff that we're doing. Do you guys get into custom casting at all?
I don't really have the setup for that, but there's a bunch of talented casters that I know that I often get stuff from. But eventually, that's something I wouldn't mind moving into, because last year I did a project where I created a custom dungeon with a whole bunch of little accessories that went to it. And there was a lot of people calling for, you know, are you going to cast this? Are you going to make copies? Are you going to sell, you know, your designs? And initially, I build, you know, it's one and done. I don't make copies of it unless I actually have the parts to make more of them on hand. Mm-hmm. But maybe in a couple years down the road, I might get into casting. But I don't know if I want to put that kind of investment into it, because I know it's not exactly a cheap hobby. And I don't know where I would put it, because if you guys have ever seen pictures of my hobby room, it's completely full.
You'll start taking over the garage, man.
It's already in the garage, though. I have a whole bunch of, like, 55-gallon Tupperware totes out there full of parts and all sorts of other stuff, so it's in the garage already.
Nice. This is ultimately, that's always what holds me up from doing more with customizing, is that I do not have a ton of extra parts. That was actually kind of one of the things I liked about the Dollar General line, is that I was just picking up whatever I could find, simply to have pieces to throw together and play around with. And if I wanted to get into painting them up, I could paint them up and stuff like that. So I'll be experimenting a little bit with some of that stuff, hopefully in the next couple of months.
Well, if you get into the customizing at all, there's in any custom community, you'll always find people that have stuff for trade, fodder lots, extra accessories, you know, whole bodies, sometimes even, you know, complete figures they have extras that they bought for projects and never used. So you won't be at a loss for parts. There's always people out there that have stuff up for trade or sale. And also it alleviates having to spend, you know, $10 for a figure because you want his head.
Nice.
Yeah, eBay lots, that's where you usually start. And Nova, you brought up, he usually runs a booth or table or something at whatever show he goes to, always has great, like, junk figures and stuff. You just get, like, a handful of them for, like, $10 and use those for custom fodder. As far as casting goes, I do. I'm not at where Nova is, or, you know, Raging Spoon or anybody like that, because they have custom setups that are more expensive than mine. But I can cast, and I basically learned to cast because I didn't know how to do it, and so I wanted to be able to do it. There's going to be a couple of cast-offs at the Joe Customs table in Dallas, where we'll have some parts available that I've done, and you'll see. Not all of them are perfect, but, you know, it's definitely a skill. Justin had actually brought up, like, the foam and the insulation foam. I saw a bunch of people in the G.I. Joe community, like Metatron, who was using the foam to do brick walls and stuff, and I really wanted to do that, you know, so I was like, well, I got to try it. And Joe Michael 70, he's, you know, one of our co-hosts on the Joe Custom podcast, he'd done some stuff, and I was like, oh, crap, I really got to learn how to do this. And so I set out and did it, and I did it for the G.I. Joe discussion group's Halloween contest, and made, like, a dungeon with it. And once you work with it, you realize it's actually a lot easier than you thought.
Very easy, yeah. It's time consuming, but once you spend a little time kind of playing with it, it's funny because I'm using the foam. I built a kind of a sewer maintenance tunnel playset first, and I was really happy with it at the time. But now that I've completed this larger project, and I see, like, how much more finished this one looked, like, the sewer maintenance tunnel's got rough edges all over the place, you know, diagonal lines, things just aren't cut smoothly. It just looks kind of hacked together, which is okay because it's supposed to be, it's the sewer, it's not supposed to be refined and really well constructed. But compared to, like, the smooth lines I've been able to get with this recent project, it's a world of difference. So yeah, again, it's just taking some time, and once you get used to it, just it's a dream, you know. I mean, you're talking about these brick walls, and like my floor of this project is metal plate, and you just take a straight edge, you know, and just go through it with, you know, a pair of scissors, because the foam is like an inch thick or so, and just go through it with a pair of scissors and just press down lightly, and you can carve these grooves right in the foam, and, you know, measure it out so the squares are all even, and you drop some black wash on it, and the black wash just sinks into the grooves that you've cut with the scissors and really brings out the detail in those grooves, and then you just paint over it, and the black naturally settles into those grooves and immediately gives you a really nice, detailed, weathered look to the surface just by spending some time with some scissors, cutting some grooves, and dropping some watered-down black paint. And it's not that difficult. Don't be scared to try it. That's all I'd say.
Dave, you have a question?
No. I'm like, yeah, but you got to water down the black paint, and then you got to measure the grooves.
It depends on what you're going for. I actually did the opposite. You know, I was doing a dungeon that was bottom of an old castle, so nothing had to be measured. And let me tell you, that was actually hard, because you don't want it to all look like the same little jelly bean everywhere. So it was actually hard to go, okay, this one's going to be a triangle, you know? You're doing like 2 feet, you know, 2 cubic feet of that. All of a sudden you're like, oh crap, I'm creating patterns now. You know, it can't be that. Sometimes I think it's actually easier when you do have it all gridded out and you're just using a ruler to do things.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that, as far as
Justin, he's calling you up.
No. I'm just saying it's totally different. That's the great thing about specifically foam, is that it can be wood, it can be a carved statue, it can be, you know, metal plates, or it can be, you know, these rough edge stone. It's really versatile like that. And as far as paint, I mean, I got like, I don't know, those gallon jugs of cheap acrylic paint at Hobby Lobby. So, I mean, I went over it with a roller. You couldn't get it easier.
So as somebody who's done dioramas and customs both, which do you think is more challenging?
I'll answer first. For me, it's definitely the dioramas. I would put it dioramas hardest, vehicle second, and then figures last. Dioramas, I just have a tough time doing that 3D visualization.
Yeah, you know, same problem.
I was always the one in wood shop with the blurred house that looked like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And I'm still like that. I'm always, you know, measuring 80 times while I'm doing one cut. And yet somehow it's still a quarter of an inch off.
Yeah.
Every single time. Vehicles, very similar. You know, I just can't get those clean cuts that you get from Kobe, Avax Lab, or Blood Brigade. Those guys just have it nailed exactly how to get those perfect incisions on the vehicles so you can't even tell it was cut. I'm not that guy.
I think the hardest, probably as far as conceptualizing, would be the dioramas. I've kicked out a couple in the last couple of months, probably the last 6 months or so. I did dioramas and little like diorama environment pieces. But I'll tell you, I'm having so much fun doing them. That's almost exclusively what I'm doing now. I put aside most of the figures and vehicle projects just simply to build these dioramas, because it was different than what I've been doing for all these years. And I'm just having a blast doing it. I really like doing it.
Yeah, dioramas are one of those things that if you can get into and kind of get in a groove, it can be a lot of fun to do. And I'm amazed. I mentioned this Facebook group, Diostructures, that I've been kind of kicking around on. And there's guys there that are putting out, you know, they're showing pictures of new dioramas they're doing like every week, and they show their work area, and it's just like a room filled with all these different dioramas. And, you know, I'm kind of like, I build dioramas. I mean, I guess necessity is a strange term to use, because really it's not, I don't need them, but I build dioramas, cause, you know, because I want to use them for my dio story, and that's really it. I don't really, oh, I'm bored today, I'm going to build a diorama. It's like, I need this, so I'm going to build it. But there's people out there that kind of do it just for the fun of it, and it's amazing what people can produce with this material. It's just astounding.
Yeah, I don't really use the foam myself. I like things that are a little more lasting, a little more sturdy. So all my dioramas are actually made out of plastic, toy parts, and all sorts of anything you could imagine. So it's got a little more heft to it, and I'd like to think it's a little sturdier. So it doesn't bend as easily.
Yep.
Like when I made the floor for my dungeon, That's 81 Army of Darkness stands all glued together tile-wise on top of a plastic sheet to give it some solidity.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And everything is all plastic. So a lot of it is cutting, a lot of it is shaping it just as I need it. And the little tiny the Gothic diorama I did recently, the one with the two church-style windows, those are pieces of Van Helsing castles that I diced up and all glued together. I prefer working in the plastic. I've never really worked with the foam. I don't have any of it on hand. I just always preferred to, like I said, a little bit sturdier, a little more lasting stuff, because I'd like to keep my stuff forever. And I don't know how long foam will last before it gets dog-eared and sags or whatever.
Yeah, there's some guys who use it regularly, do some kind of spray finish to it to kind of make it last a little bit longer. I mean, to be brutally honest, realistically, once I'm done shooting on it, you know, I'm gonna get rid of this thing somehow. It's just too big for me to store. So whether I end up giving it away to somebody or selling it to somebody or heaven forbid after spending, you know, 3 weeks building it, break it down and throw it away. But you know, I don't really need mine forever. I just don't have the space to store it. So, you know, the foam isn't such a big deal to me.
One day your plastic is going to melt anyway, Dan.
Yeah.
One of the things I do with dioramas, too, is I over accessorize it.
Yes.
Like, you know, because I'm thinking in my head for the, again, you know, more time away from the project than actually working on it. So I'm like, oh, you know what it needs? I need chairs. Yeah. Chairs.
Yeah.
And I will focus on a week of just like tracking down cheap chairs or trying to make chairs. And by the time it's all done, and I've done that with every single accessory piece I want in there, I have too much. I have way too much stuff.
Oh, I agree. Same thing. I did when I built my dungeon, you saw all the accessories I made for that. There's no way they're all going to fit in there at once. That's why it's modular.
Dan made like three different accessory sets to set different settings. Does that even make sense? I don't think so. Even on but like three decorations that totally changed the vibe of that particular diorama. Yeah, that's crazy.
And there's a fourth wave in the works. Just gathering parts.
they're in ferreting mode.
And you know, it is. It's almost like hoarding, and it's hard to get out of it. I built a space diorama going on almost 2 years ago, and even now when those like space sets were hitting Ross with the rovers in them and stuff, I was like, oh, I need to get that. And you know, it took a while to realize, oh, you really don't. You have no need for a rover. It's really hard to get out of that mode that, you know, you need to keep collecting those accessories for this diorama that you've built.
Oh, yeah, I concur completely. I used to pick up stuff anytime I saw anything on clearance or anything at Marshall's or TJ Maxx or the old AJ Wright stores. I would grab it just to stockpile the parts. Then I realized, like I said, I have 55-gallon tubs out in my store, in my garage, that are full of things that I'm never going to use. So that's why I completely backed off on buying stuff just to buy it. Now it's got to have a purpose before it comes in my house.
You know, and I'll be honest, speaking as a guy who's never built a single diorama in his life, I was doing that for a while. In case I ever wanted to start, I could. That's got a coffee mug, you know, and stuff like that. So, no, I've experienced that one firsthand.
Oh, I still do that. I mean, not with sets I've not even built. Like, Justin built a warehouse a long time ago for one of his dioramas, Dio stories. And I was like, ooh, I really like that pallet mover that he got. I need to get one of those. So I got one of those, you know, for the eventual warehouse that I was going to build for. I was never going to build it, but, you know, yeah, I still have that pallet mover somewhere.
It's probably moving pallets. P-Love's got the world's most boring Joe diorama. Oh, look, it's 30th anniversary Lifeline, and he's moving freight. Oh, how about that?
He's just taking temperatures.
He's putting freight from one side of the bookshelf to the other.
It's VD day at the G.I. Joe clinic.
And Shipwreck's been there all day.
Shipwreck, you've gone and made it a party again. But one thing I've noticed, and this is kind of a societal thing, I think. I might just be imagining it. we know, obviously, there's the massive change in construction. The O-rings became what's often referred to as the new sculpt, but they still had the O-rings, and then that became what we refer to as the modern construction. I have found that folks who tend to be really into customizing, in a lot of cases, have still not embraced the modern construction figures. And I was just kind of wondering why that was. I mean, it seems that guys as talented as you guys are and as practiced as you guys are, so you really don't have a problem creating regardless of what body type you use. But almost universally, like if you get down to brass tacks with a lot of these guys, they really hate the new body constructions to this day. And I was just wondering if you guys had any insight on that.
I think it has to do with a number of things. There are people that are used to the old body style, and there's people that, you know, they have such a stockpile of parts that they don't want to have to replace it all with the new stuff. But to be completely honest, on Joe Customs, you're bound to see probably 10 times, or if not more, modern sculpt customs than of the O-ring style.
Yeah, and I mean, Vanishing Point does Sigma 6. We have a couple of 12-inch customizers. So I think you just customize what your preference is. I think modern customs are just a little bit harder in that they don't have the simple back screw. You know, I know Justin can relate to this with dioramas. You just want to do a simple head switch for one particular scene, and you can't. You know, I guess the boil and pop is pretty easy, but anything more than that, and it just gets a little bit more complicated. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas before, all you needed was 5 seconds and a screwdriver, and you could have a whole new figure, you know?
I do kind of what I call a casual hit and run in my Dio stories, which has, like, the big brawler chest, and at one point I did, like, tracker arms and a tracker head or something weird like that. I don't remember, but, you know, something like that isn't possible. You can't just pop a screw and swap out some arms on the modern style figures.
There's different techniques, and not everybody's good at whacking a figure with a hammer or whatever, you know, but you could slice the shoulders, but it all depends on what you're going for. And the other problem is that, you know, the modern plastics are a little bit, I don't want to say rubbier, but they're softer, so they take paints differently, and there's more articulation points, so there's more points for friction and more paint rub. So it's not harder, but at the same time, you have Star Wars figures and Marvel figures and G.I. Joe figures that all have very similar articulation, so you have more parts to choose from.
Do you guys ever use you ever cross the streams? You ever use Star Wars figures to make Joe figures and Joe figures to make Marvel Legends? And do you interchange parts often?
Anything that's 3¾-inch is fair game. I make customs out of anything and everything that's the same scale.
Yeah, absolutely. Use whatever's out there.
You have a much wider parts library to pull from when you use everything.
That was a question asked specifically to make Gary twitch. So most of this so far has been me throwing the questions at you guys. Do you have any questions for us? This is the joint podcast, and I want to make it seem like we're having you on to appease.
Well, like, are you guys going to the convention this year? Are you guys doing the customizing class?
We're going to try.
You know, when you sign up at the convention for the customizing class.
Yeah. When we sign up at the convention for the convention.
Yeah.
But
everybody's flying to Dallas with their fingers crossed.
I hope this is the right city. But
I hear the hotel looks beautiful.
That's what we've been told. Yes, yes. But yeah, the plan is to try and get in there. I've in the past always tried to make the custom classes. Last year I did not register in time. Otherwise, I would have. The other years that I've been to the con, if there was anything on custom, I remember my first con in Atlanta. Alyosha did a panel that I was in on and learned a lot from. And so I'm well educated in this stuff, if completely unpracticed. But that is the hope.
Yeah. I'm definitely. I mean, I'm sweating when registration's going to go up, as I'm sure everybody is. I mean, I'm lucky there. You know, 75% of my workday, I'm within 10 feet of a computer. So. I'm much more fortunate than a lot of people out there. But, yeah, I'm hoping as long as I can get the registration soon enough, I'm fully planning on being at the class if I can.
Are you kidding me? Like, boss fight's going to be like, whoa, Justin Bell, sorry. You're going to have to switch that out.
Hey, yeah. It might happen.
There's Justin holding his paint in his bag of parts, but come on.
Come on, guys.
I thought we were friends. He's going to be sitting outside in the lobby right outside the room.
My mouth is attached to your ass and all.
But hurt.
Oh, we got to be careful. We can't use the butthurt soundbite too much. Gary actually lost the effect. He's got to put, he's got to put a new one together.
That's not even funny.
At least it's easy enough. We've got lots of old episodes we can pull from. The Lord knows we've beaten that one down. Maybe the greatest moment in What's on Joe Mind history.
And I think on this year, I wish I could be there. On top of just the customizing class, being able to have professionals take you through it and the 3D design aspect of it, and then at the end have something that never existed before, that just gives me such a customizing boner, let me tell you.
Yeah, that would be a cool class to go to. Unfortunately, I'm not making the trip down to Texas.
The hell is wrong with you guys?
Not real Joe fans.
Nope. You're like Draper.
Yeah, sorry.
As I alienate the rest of our fan base.
No, if they held a JoeCon closer to where I live, I would probably go. I missed the Rhode Island one a couple years back, but I don't even travel for the Star Wars cons, and I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Good man.
Yeah. I go to local cons. I mean, I was at New York Comic Con. I do NJCC every time it pops up. I go to all the local things. That's it.
You going to make it to Eternal Con?
Which one's that?
It's out on Long Island.
Yeah, but what is it? Just straight up sci-fi? Is it?
It's kind of an everything. We're going to be there though.
When is it?
Shoot, I have it in front of me. June 13th and 14th, 14th and 15th, whatever the weekend is.
Maybe this is the first I'm hearing about it, so I'd have to look and see, the fundage and whatnot.
Oh man, yeah, out in Roosevelt Field, my old Toys R Us stomping grounds. It's gonna be weird. But yes, it'll be the first time that the cast of What's on Joe Mind is together in the same room.
You too, Justin?
We're doing a pass in the park.
I'm hoping to.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, if we got to meet Chuck, then Justin's got to meet Chuck.
You're not suffering through him alone?
Is Chuck allowed in Long Island?
He was at Eternal Con last year, and he was not arrested. And we have, of course, that's public record. So we can back that up with extended searches through those databases. I can't tell if you guys are laughing. It's killing me.
I'm laughing on the inside. Speaking of boss fight, did you guys see their new website and some of the stuff they have planned?
Yeah, it looks really cool. I signed up for it. I think I was probably the first person to leave a comment on their site.
Looks pretty awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about whatever that product is. It looks like there's a lot of different potential things that could be down the pipe. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you want to talk about 4-inch compatible. Man, yeah. Some of the stuff and some of the ideas and sketches they're talking about, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what... I'm hoping that... I don't know if they'll have anything to show at JoeCon or not. That'd be pretty cool. That's a pretty good place for them to kind of show that stuff off.
Well, they said there might be some stuff at NJCC this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he didn't say anything. He was non-committal about it, but he said there's a good chance there might be something shown off.
Nice.
So I'm hoping to see what they bring.
All right. Well, you guys pretty well killed the news segment right there.
Gathering the best G.I. Joe news from all points around the fandom and community, it's the weekly What's on Joe Mind News Desk with your host and anchor, Beachhead Mind.
Oh, that was news?
So, what we figured we'd take a look and into the mailbag, so you could pull some letters out, have you guys sit in, do a little round table with us on some mailbag, talk to the listeners. Sound good?
Sure, good.
Sure. Or you can mail out now, either way.
Hello. Whatever.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Whatever. Dave Draper, you're a quitter. A quitter, Dave Draper.
Well, I'm just going to take my recording software and go home then.
Yeah, we need you, Dave Draper. You don't get to go.
Yeah, exactly.
We love you, Dave Draper.
Let's see. Here's one from our good friend, Eben Abubu. Foster, a.k.a. Duffman. Hey, guys. Oh, you know, before we get into it, who's the mailbag sponsored by?
All the cool stuff.
Hey! All the cool stuff for all of
How was that for a resounding endorsement?
For all of your finest G.I. Joe Transformers and guys in furry shorts on the other side of the Atlantic, be sure to visit all the cool stuff at allthecoolstuff.co.uk. Tell them Dave Tree sent you. Hey, guys. This is Evan Foster, a.k.a. Duffman. I just wanted to say that, Yahoo, we are getting some really nice things for the 50th anniversary. I am actually surprised to see so much. Only 11 different items, so not a ton. But I was really expecting far less. Not only are we getting a 50th line, we are getting so many figures that came from the vault, and they look great. Leatherneck, Destro, Heat Viper, and a Cobra Wolf with Ice Viper. Are you kidding me? That is just fantastic. Love to get your thoughts on the 50th line. Are you guys excited? Yes. You've, of course, you know, being this is episode 91, we went into pretty great lengths on that in episode 90, so I'm going to guess that you've heard it by now. But we do have some guests, so we'll ask John and Dan what they think of the upcoming 50th anniversary Toys R Us exclusive line for G.I. Joe. Take it away, Mr. P-Love.
Yeah, you know, there's not a lot, but there's not a lot of misses either. That, you know, each one of those sets is actually pretty good. Man, the vamp and the wolf. Never thought we'd see the Vamp Mark II or the Wolf. Never in a million years. Well, okay, maybe before then. But, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff coming out the pipe. I know people are disappointed. It's not the big 50th that they were hoping for. And if you ask them what they were hoping for, it varies. People were hoping everything from a Terradrome to a flag to Adventure Team to one figure from every different style G.I. Joe has ever been in. So I guess I understand why their hopes were dashed. But for me, I think it's pretty good. And I'm glad Toys R Us was able to carry it.
Yeah, there's definitely some cool figures coming down the line. And I know, like you said, a lot of people were upset that their personal dream line didn't happen. But they should be happy at least there is some new Joes. Because up until 2 weeks before Toy Fair, they weren't saying there was no G.I. Joe. So they should be happy that something actually came about and that they're going to have some product to buy this year. And it looks like just about everything they pulled out is a winner. Everything looks pretty good.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask a quick question of our resident expert, the admin of General's Joe's, Justin Bell. Looking more closely at the listings, I know we're seeing the three-pack with the Cobra Trooper, the Viper, and Beachhead. Mm-hmm. Is there also a plan for a Cobra Trooper and Cobra Officer two-pack?
I don't believe so, no. I think that was some miscommunication that came out of the Toy Fair announcements, I believe. I think there was just so many names flying out there at the same time. I just think there was something kind of lost in translation there.
Yeah, because I'm seeing that just turn up on lists, but I haven't seen any pictures. So
It definitely was not on the Hasbro PR FTP site available for download, the press images or anything like that. So I don't think that's anything that's really in the works.
Yeah, and I was actually in that presentation, and there was nothing said about that. Somebody just misinterpreted. They got too excited and either sent out a tweet or reported something that they misheard, because that wasn't even mentioned.
Straight from the horse's mouth. All right.
I think a few of us have been in those presentations with, you know, for Hasbro, and they'll show a picture and then list off a bunch of things, and you're trying to write as furiously as you possibly can, you know, and sometimes it gets all kind of run together, or you miss it or something, you know, and it's just, we're all very excited trying to get the information out there as quick as possible.
Yeah, I have been there and done that, sometimes sitting right next to John, so his hand on my knee.
Dave Draper, $20 left in your pocket. You going to buy Star Wars Black or G.I. Joe 2-pack?
Probably G.I. Joe 2-pack.
Excellent. You get to stay.
That is the right choice. You get to continue recording the show. Thank you.
Justin, Dave, I know it's been 5 whole days since we recorded. you guys still excited?
Yeah. I mean, it looks cool. I mean, I'm just grinding metal now. But everything looks really neat, looks really cool. I'm really excited. I'm getting another Viper. That's all I really care about. So probably have a lot of beachheads if one of you customizers wants some beachheads for fodder. I'll probably have a few come the fall.
I don't think you're the only one that'll be doing that.
Yeah.
I think Beachhead's going to be easy figure for someone like Mike to track down.
Somebody like a Beachhead fan.
Yeah.
I probably don't need more than 10 or 12.
Well, there'll probably be whole eBay lots of, like, you know, 24 at a time.
Yeah, I'm sure. That way I can continue to make my lazy bastard Beachhead customs, as I did with Renegades Beachhead.
Yay!
You ever going to tell us what the Renegades Beachhead formula was?
Oh, yeah. Renegades Beachhead formula was just the green Dollar General Shipwreck body. And took the head and the little neck piece off of the Resolute Beachhead.
Uh-huh.
Along with the vest.
Hey. Nothing wrong with that. Sounds pretty cool.
No, I liked it. It was the vest is. People were telling me that they didn't like the choice of the vest because it wasn't detailed enough, and I was like, well, it's off of the cartoon show, and that's exactly why I did like it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of the point of the whole Renegades style.
That's why it was Renegades Beachhead and not just Beachhead. I thought looked cool.
Yeah.
There we go.
I applaud you.
See.
You know, like any critique, you got to take it, and if you like the advice, follow it. If not.
Tell him to f*** off.
Yeah, it's free advice and it's worth what you paid for it.
Because I'm good at the f*** off part.
Or you can tell him to f*** off.
Oh. Now I'm a... Crap. Like every other mailbag question we've got is for Ladies Night 3, which... which is coming up soon. We're not quite at Ladies Night yet.
Us.
I know. We've got...
I can see what Jason's doing. I mean, you know...
I guess we don't have too much of a mailbag segment. This is what happens when we don't have our showrunner. But I understand you gentlemen had some thoughts on the new Creo stuff coming that you wanted to share.
Well, I think he was talking mostly about the news today that Wave 3 of the minifigures has been sighted in California. So
nobody tells me that.
Well, if you would go to Notorious Hack Site, GeneralsJoes.com on a regular basis, you would have seen the story posted at like 8:30 this morning.
Well, again, some of us work a job that doesn't allow us to surf the internet.
Yeah.
See, we could have put the news intro in there. We could have done this. We could have done that. We could talk boss fights webpage. But no, we don't. We don't want to play the news segment. No.
You done bitching?
Probably not, but go ahead.
All right.
I think you guys would love Creo. They're so easy to customize. Just pop their arms off.
We do enjoy Creo.
Creo is fantastic.
I hate Creo.
What?
Dave hates Creo.
I hate them so much.
Oh, you get the...
I hate them with the white-hot intensity of a million suns.
Oh, how can you possibly hate Creo?
Because, like, last year they got the license to Star Trek, and that was, like, one of my dream lines was a Star Trek 3 3/4 line that would be compatible with Joe's, be compatible with Star Wars, and they were like, Creo.
And that's somehow Creo's fault.
It is Creo's fault. It's all Creo's fault. And then the worst, the thing that broke me, the thing that broke my heart and destroyed me was then they were like, Dungeons and Dragons! Creo!
That's awesome.
It's like, no!
I just picture you dropping to your knees and lifting your arms in the air.
It was very
screaming.
It was very close to that. I finally saw those filthy things in the store the other day, and it was just like my mighty heart is broken. But, I mean, and you know, that was the thing last year. It was like, hey, we've got a movie got a G.I. Joe movie in the theaters, and we got the 50th anniversary coming up, and here's a couple figures, and Creo, 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 Creo.
But some of the Creo parts are useful. I took a Keenser head from Star Trek, put it on an Ugnaught body, and made a passable Keenser from the first movie. The head scale was pretty much close to what it would be for 3 3/4, because the Creos all got big heads.
See?
Yeah.
And there you go. Pipe bomb.
Boom.
And some of the other non-human heads work pretty well too. When I was at the Hasbro party before New York Comic Con, they had little glass buckets full of Creos, and you can just take as many as you want. So I grabbed a bunch of the different alien guys and brought them home and test fit the heads. They fit pretty well for 3 3/4.
Oh, that was the other reason that I hate them is they did the Gorn from the video game, which is like this cool updated Velociraptor Gorn thing, and the Gorn is one of my favorite Star Trek characters. Creo.
Oh, his axe is awesome, though. I got a couple of those at the party.
I have one because, I mean, it's the Gorn, so I had to get it. But Creo. Here's some Klingon fig Creo.
What's important is you're not bitter.
Oh, I'm bitter. I'm insanely bitter.
We couldn't tell.
But at this point, it's like, you know what?
You hide it well.
Well, I was almost hoping that, like, all you guys would get is Creo, so all you people were like, we love Creo. Where are the other Joes? We love Kriya, but where are the other Joes?
I'm not big on the brick stuff myself, so.
I like Legos. I like real Legos, true Legos. I will say that I had a good laugh this week at Mattel's expense, because at least Hasbro like went through the effort and expense to develop their own Lego knockoff.
You just buy Mega Bloks.
Yeah, where Mattel was like, we need to get in on this racket. What can we buy? Oh, Mega Bloks. So the He-Mans will be Mega. There will never be He-Man Legos.
Which
suck at something of a victory.
What's weird is
always like, be Mega Bloks.
A lot of the G.I. Joe fans have kind of, especially while we wait for this 50th line, they've kind of moved on to this Call of Duty Mega Bloks line. And I got to admit, they're great. I just can't wait to see what Mattel does with it and gives them the 5 points of articulation. All that stuff.
Puts them all in furry shorts.
You know, starts repainting all the stuff that Barbie gets and gives it to the Call of Duty guys.
Call of Duty in his new hat.
Call of Duty in his pink Corvette.
That's for the don't ask, don't tell subline.
Yeah, that's right. There's nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
So again, for our folks who maybe haven't been paying attention to this for a couple of weeks, Creo Wave 3 singles would include characters such as...
You asking me?
Yes. I'm leading you in.
Footloose? Okay, Footloose, Lady J, Nunchuck, Flight Jet Trooper, character they're calling the Polar Assault Eel, who is actually a snow serpent, Torch, Dreadnought Torch, Scrap Iron, Doc, Night Creeper... Tomax and Lowlight. Early pictures from Toy Fair, early press pictures showed Mike Power, the Atomic Man, as part of Wave 3 as well. He was not found at retail this morning, so we're not sure what's going on with him, because it looked like, according to the guy posting on histank.com, it looked like there was a full case there, but there was no Mike Power. So we're not sure what his blind bag code is yet, and if you want the blind bag codes, you should hit up generalsjoes.com. I have a news story on the front page right now. It says Creo minifigures Wave 3 blind bag codes. By the time this is posted, that story may have fallen off the front page. So just go to my Creo super page, which is right in that top menu, and I've got them listed there too.
Yeah, and I suspect that snow serpent's going to be just as hard to find as the bat was.
Yeah, definitely. And did you guys see their Alley Viper? The Wave 1 Creo Alley Vipers are selling for like $40 on eBay right now.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oof.
Yeah, somebody sent me an auction link earlier this week. It was like, this is nuts.
Dave? There's a Creo super page.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, that's one of the few that I actually have. I would almost prefer the $40. So
there you go. See? You want to pay $40 for a Creon, hit up Dave Draper.
Meh.
At Dave Draper at DaveDraper.com.
What's weird, now I got to go back to Toys R Us. We just got in like some more Wave 2. You know, we didn't have it for a while, and then I couldn't find any bats. And then they put out like 4 cases all at once. It was like, well, I've already gotten the ones I want. Well, now I got to go back through. Thanks, Justin. Yeah.
Way to go, Justin. Way to ruin P Love's Christmas.
At least you have a Toys R Us you can go to.
Well, Dave Draper's
like
got one.
5 of them in driving distance.
You too.
Dave's got one in walking distance.
Yeah, I actually never had problems finding any of the Creons. I assume because I hate them. So
that's probably it, yes.
The toy universe knows that you hate them, so as such, they always throw them right in front.
Oh, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
If it helps any, there's no Tuesday mornings around me.
I don't have any Tuesday mornings either.
I don't even know what that is.
Yes. There's one in my area in Jersey, and I don't even know where it is. I looked at the name of the town. I couldn't identify it.
That does bring us to our next news item, which would be...
Segway!
Wave 3.5 has been spotted at Tuesday morning closeout stores.
Ah.
I just love the fact that there is a Wave 3.5.
Yeah.
That's so ridiculous. But
it really didn't have a 3, but we've got a 3.5.
but we just got a Ross store here. That's not fair. They keep changing them up.
To refresh everybody's memories, that is the Wave with the 12 different characters, the Quinn Data Viper Wave, as was heavily anticipated. All those Ultimate figures, the Cobra Combat Ninja, the Crimson Guardsman, etc., etc.
Well, they're Wave 3.5 because Wave 3 would have been a solid case of Night Vipers, and Hasbro was like, no, nobody would want these, and they just skipped over it.
It's passed. We're out.
Smart business move.
Now, let me explain to the listeners. When you're Target or Walmart or Toys R Us and you order G.I. Joe, you get a full case and you send that case out to a store. And the store opens up the case and they'll load up the pegs, whatever is available space, from that case. And if there's leftover, they'll put it, that rest of that case back in their stock room, that individual store stock room. If you're the Dollar Generals or the Tuesday Mornings, you take that case, take two figures from that case, send it to store A, two figures to store B, yes, two figures to store C, and that case gets broken up over a region. So people are going in there and checking back every day thinking they'll find the rest of the case. That's not what's happening.
Exactly. Yeah,
not necessarily.
Yeah. Those discount stores are all like that, yeah.
If they sell out well enough, they'll start sending greater quantities, which is what happened with Dollar General over the last couple of years. They were sending two and three figures to each Dollar General store, but then as those sold very quickly, they were just like, just keep sending them. Just send out as many as you can. One of the guys who works at one of the Dollar Generals that I frequented at the height of basic assortment mania was saying that by the end of it, by last Christmas, they were getting in these repack cases, but there was something like 20 Joes in each repack case. And he split his hours up amongst two different stores, and both of them were the same way. And so they were really flooding in there towards the end of the run on those. I think those are starting to peter out, though. So we've got that out there as well, is that the hope is that since Wave 3.5 and Wave 4 did not really hit regular retail that hard, and the folks at Hasbro claim they put in a higher production order on those, is that maybe they'll start showing up at these secondary type locations in a little bit more abundance over the coming weeks and months. Again,
well, they showed up fairly heavily at Rite Aids and Walgreens, and people are even reporting finding Wave 4 at CVS now. So they're out there. They're out in the distribution line somewhere, but they just, they haven't reached that saturation point yet.
Yeah. I mean, Walgreens, around here, Walgreens has pulled the peg isn't even there for Joe's anymore. So,
yeah, I think we still have some in our locals. I saw them the other day, but they were all Roadblocks and a couple of one of them had like a Lady J. I think that was it.
I think CVS still has that Rise of Cobra cover girl that I talked about the last time I was on this show.
You ought to go snap that one up there.
Oh, that's $14 well spent.
That's what it is. Justin Bell will buy that off you for $20.
No, I won't, because remember you sent me a free cover girl. Like,
I did. I sent you a freebie.
Not too long ago.
When I got when I found the Rise of Cobra clearance at Toys Am in Terre Haute, Indiana. Toys Am! And I remember this because the other six or seven figures that I picked up that day for about $2 a piece are still all sitting in one spot in the corner of the room in their packaging. But I just, again, more stuff I've picked up, figured I can start customizing with these, and I haven't started customizing with them. But we'll get there. We'll get there, damn it. We'll get there!
You're procrastinating. You're customizing your mind and formulating a plan.
That's what we'll go with. I'm mulling it over. And, of course, our next news item, our third and final news item, since we just did a news segment 5 days ago, was of course, the opening of our friends at Boss Fight Studios' website at bossfightstudio.com. And we're pulling it up now. It's been pulling up for about 5 minutes. I'm thinking that they probably broke the internet with heavy traffic, with middle-aged toy nerds slamming into it time and time again.
Well, Justin did front page them, so, you know.
No, that is it. That's pretty well what we bank our numbers on.
That's pretty sad.
But anyways, our two-bit slime show. Again, our friends at Boss Fight, Eric and Andrew and Katrina and Dave and Guy, who hasn't been on our show, so I'm not accepting him yet.
Hey, he sculpted okay. Gung Ho. He can be accepted no matter
what. All right, so I'll call him Fred at least.
Fred, 2D Toys, if you haven't looked at his customs before.
Damn it.
He was already part of the G.I. Joe community before Hasbro.
Yep. Yeah.
And, I mean, he was
I've seen his work. He is a bad man.
he was good then, but let me tell you, you want to talk about somebody who's made the professional leap. He's heads and
kidding.
I don't know. He's up there. He's crazy what he can do.
But their website is kicked off. Lots of hints and insights as far as what they're going to be offering coming up real soon. Boss Fight Studio will be at New Jersey Comic Con this weekend,
along
with Joe Custom's own Dan Cosa.
That is correct.
Will you be signing autographs, Dan? You have a table?
No, I'm just going to be walking around looking for Doctor Who figures and talking to people.
All right, so when you hear the electric audio sex, that is Dan Kosa's voice, you'll know to stop and ask for an autograph.
Hey, look for the big guy in the long black duster.
Big guy in the long black duster.
At a toy convention, you got to be more specific than that.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say.
Look for the big guy with the long
beard
black duster.
Throw a beard in that, too, and it's like everybody else.
And then maybe look for the third or fourth guy in the long black duster, and that'll be your guy.
Yeah, that is kind of like standard issue uniform for toy geeks.
Wait, let me guess. Goatee, glasses?
Yep.
But we'll read it to you directly from the website at bossfightstudio.com. We know that a lot of you have been anxiously awaiting news on Boss Fight's product line. We've been teasing and hinting for months, and now, finally, the time has come to announce our upcoming Kickstarter campaign. We hope to be able to start the process of funding our line by the end of April, but we'll keep all of you posted by the actual date as it gets closer. Please keep an eye on our Facebook and Twitter, or sign up for our newsletter to get all the details sent directly to your inbox. We'll be offering some great incentives, including prints, T-shirts, exclusive figures, along with some other goodies in exchange for your support with getting our toy line off the ground and onto the shelves. Please come to visit our booths at both New Jersey Comic Con and G.I. Joe Con. We'll be showing off our line's artwork, sculpts, and we hope painted samples. Thanks so much for being friends and followers of the Boss Fight family. Signed, Boss Fight Studios. But that's it. That's it from the news desk.
And that's all the news from Beachhead Mike and What's on Your Mind.
And hopefully we won't have another recording stacked on top of this one to stretch out an already thin news desk.
Wait, the two Joe-Con stupid reveals.
What now?
The G.I. Joe coin, the coin they showed for G.I. Joe-Con, and the map.
All right.
It's so timely. I don't want to force it.
That's fine. I wasn't even thinking about it. Like I said, I was at work where I can't get on the internet for this stuff and wasn't expecting anything.
It's literally a map and a case and a coin.
So for us, we've got one last news item for our latest reveals for the G.I. Joe Club convention. We turn over to Ed, G.I. Joe Con correspondent, P-Love.
they revealed the silver coin, the 50th anniversary coin. On one side, it's got the 50th anniversary, and on the back, it's got the old school G.I. Joe logo, the new G.I. Joe logo, the AT logo, and a Cobra symbol. And then for the 12-inch crew, they revealed a map and map case. And apparently the map is of Spy Island. So those are your two Joe-Con reveals for today.
Where the hell is the map and map case? I can't even see it on... I don't see it.
So are you calling P-Love a liar? Is that what we're saying here?
They literally said, it's a map. Please don't make fun of it.
Wow. Okay.
They did. They only put it on Facebook. They didn't even put it on their site, did they?
That's where I've been searching for it, is on the site, and it's not even there.
Yes, it's a photo of a toy map and map case from the 2014 G.I. Joe Con box set. Ridicule it at your peril. Jesus.
Very nice. So be sure to check out both GIJoeCon.com and the G.I. Joe Collectors Club on Facebook to get all that hot and trending information.
I couldn't resist. I had to post a Dora the Explorer YouTube video just to get on my map.
remember, folks, only 34 days, 9 hours, 42 minutes, and 12 seconds until G.I. Joe Con. Registration will be open any day.
I believe it's – I was going to say, yeah, 10 seconds until registration.
Yes. And that's the news.
And that's all the news from Beachhead Mike and What's On Your Mind.
We get to play What's New and What You Get In This Week with our guests. Do you guys have a segment that you guys want to do with us? Do you guys
no.
do any segments?
It's all about customizing.
All right. That's just customizing. What did you cut with an X-Acto this week?
It's literally workbench stuff you got in to customize with. And outstanding customs that you've seen recently. It's a customizing podcast.
Well, I mean, that's fine. I'm just saying that we've become slaves to the structure over here. We've become institutionalized here at What's On Joe Mind. It's the dictator Godso. It's what he's done to us.
Moving along.
Under the bus! Oh, wait. So,
it's time for What We Got In. This segment's brought to you by
Big Bad Toy Store. They're big, they're bad, and they huff and puff and blow down big prices. Big Bad Toy Store has a huge selection of all things pop culture, from action figures and playsets to statues and roleplay. Brand names, exclusive imports, and even third-party toys, too. Hasbro, Sideshow, Hot Toys, Mattel, McFarlane, and more. Visit BigBadToyStore.com today.
We'll start with you on this one, Dan. What'd you get in this week?
This week, the only thing I actually got in, I got a small fodder lot from my friend Brian, known as BCOS74. Actually, a couple hours ago, I swung by his house to pick up some parts he had for me. I got one of the Ultimate Duke drones. I got some of the Rise of Cobra spring-loaded missile launchers that I turn into cool little tech detail and like fusion generators and cool sci-fi stuff.
Nice.
And the only other thing I can think I got this week was I went into Kmart to get some cat food on Saturday and ran into the brand new wave of Star Wars Black Series figures, the 3 3/4 inch. So I picked up Mara Jade, the one with the corrected fixed hair, so she doesn't have the 5 head anymore. I got Darth Plagueis, Bizom, and the big Wookiee. I can't remember his name at the moment. Yeah, it's like Meru Meru or something like that. So I got those
pretty
guys.
Much, yeah.
That's pretty much it. It's been kind of a slow week. I blew a whole bunch of money the week before or even the week before that. I bought a ton of the import Doctor Who figures. I spent like $250, 3 3/4.
Oh, okay. With the Capaldi Doctor?
No, he's not out yet. He's coming in wave 3. Is the regeneration one where he's on the Matt Smith figure's body, but it's his head. And then the next wave, they'll have the corrected final costume Capaldi. But I got the Black Daleks. I got the Cybermen. I got Weeping Angels. I got Ice Warriors. I got the Doctor and Clara.
Yeah, I have Wave 1, but I was not super impressed with it, so.
Yeah, I still need 6 of the Bronze Daleks from Wave 1 because I missed them. I got the black variants, so I'm hoping to find the Wave 1 Bronze ones this weekend at NJCC or Monster Mania. If not, I have a plan for the next wave when the Assault Daleks come out. Those are Bronze, but they have a different – they don't have the plunger. They have a gripper hand. So I'm going to double up on those. I'll get 12 of those, and I'll get 6 more of the black ones and swap the arms on the them, so I'll have 6 – Black Daleks with the claw, and I'll have 6 Bronze Daleks with the plunger.
Cute.
Yep.
Truly, that is the American dream.
Exactly. But that's really all I've gotten the last couple of weeks.
All right. P-Love.
I ain't got crap. I set aside money for the Joe Customs table and sent that out to Joe Czar, who's getting our table this year.
Very nice.
Some smooth-on casting supplies, some resin. That's it. That's all I've gotten.
Very nice. And if folks wanted to check you out at JoeCon or check out your site, your staff at JoeCon, what would they be looking for?
The bookshelves with all the customs on them. We got a Destro Beach diorama that we're doing at the table. Not a prize. It won't be there. We've got a bunch of people bringing in their customs that are going to Dallas. J-Man from D&J Toys will be there, and he's made some Joe Customs Cobra Eco Warrior shirt with some solar coloring changing splatters on them. That's really cool. So look for the guys in the bright green shirts, and they'll take you to the customs.
Very nice. See, we have to paint things up like that, man. We got to be obvious. It's an audio medium. We must paint pictures with our words, P Love.
Yeah, I'm just not the artist that you are.
Thank God. So, Dave, it's been all 5 days. What'd you get in?
Yeah, slow week, but someone on our fan forums, ToyWorldOrder.com fans on Facebook, posted a picture of a 7-inch Indiana Jones he got at Disney World, and I was like, I had no idea this thing existed, and now I want it more than anything else on Earth. So I managed to get that off of eBay.
Very nice.
That's basically all I've gotten in the last 5 days.
So
I have like a massive, massive box waiting at unnamed online toy retailer, Big Bad Toy Store, for those of you. Is it?
Yeah.
Well, if it's one of your sponsors, I guess I'll give it a plug on your show. Yeah. It's Big Bad Toy Store. Well, they were one of our sponsors, but we're not good enough for them. So
they needed to slide into the What's on Joe Mind budget, frankly.
Apparently, you stole our sponsor. Thanks. But I'm waiting on, ironically, a Doctor Who figure, the War Doctor, to come in before I pull the trigger on my ever-expanding pile of loot. So,
Dave, we didn't really give you a chance to plug your program last week.
It's Dave Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. It's it covers basically any kind of action figure-y thing. Very little G.I. Joe stuff because Jason's a fascist and I hate him. But it's mostly just two guys sitting and yakking about toys and collecting and, you know, all the kind of crazy shenanigans we get into. The shows are usually more interesting in and around actual toy shows that we go to, because we have stuff to talk about, whereas the last 2 or 3 weeks have been deadly, because it was like, first of all, Toy Fair is usually a big time for us, but this year was kind of meh, and then it was a week after Toy Fair, and that was meh, and then it was a week after the week after Toy Fair, and so we're really looking forward to a toy show. There's one coming up this weekend in St. Louis, so hopefully next week's will be a good one.
You going to be a toy man this week?
Yes, we are.
All right, then.
Apparently, it was between two toy shows, one in Chicago and one in St. Louis, and I found out as we were recording that the one in Chicago had already happened. So I took that to mean that we had written that one off. Jason is not good with the planning.
No.
Or the letting other people in on the planning. So, yeah, I was like, so what about the one in Chicago that Dan wants to film? Oh, that happened last weekend. Oh. So we're going to Toy Man then. Yeah. Oh, okay. Good.
So if folks wanted to find your fine podcast, where can they do so?
www.toyworldorder.com. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. It's on other internet witchcraft site things. But I know it's on iTunes and Stitcher, and you can find it at www.toyworldorder.com.
Excellent. Justin Bell, what have you got in 4.5 days?
Straight toy-wise, nothing. Just a bunch of stuff to help kind of build up my diorama that I've been working on. I bought a couple of junky Cobra t-shirts so I could cut them up and use them for Cobra banners on the walls of this little diorama I'm building, and some other little parts and pieces and stuff just to fill that out. But that's really about it. Been pretty slow.
Yeah, I had some clearance stuff that I bought from the club show up.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I got some of the DTC figures. I bought some of the Cobra officers and the Night Vipers. So we picked up troop builders at low prices, which is really, if I was going to die tomorrow, that would probably be on my headstone.
It's time for shoutouts. Shoutouts brought to you by
Dorkside Toys. Dorkside Toys loves G.I. Joe. Have a huge assortment of figures, loose and carded, vintage and modern, lots of vehicles too. They back order 7 days a week at all hours of the day to get your purchase to you as soon as humanly possible. Dorkside Toys also has an amazing selection of Star Wars, Marvel, Transformers, and much, much more. When the light of the real world gets too bright, head to the dork side and let your geek flag fly. Any questions? Send an email to customerservice@dorksidetoys.com.
Baby!
Dad Kosa, shout-outs!
What do you do with shout-outs?
Well, we give special recognition to those who are near and dear to us.
Okay, I'd have to give a shout-out to my wife, then, who puts up with my hobby that takes over a good portion of the house.
See, that's a quality shout-out right there. P-Love, did you learn something from that shout-out?
No, my wife's already asleep. She didn't put up with
So, about shout-outs for P-Love?
I want to give a shout out to Joe Michael 70, who couldn't make this podcast, and Bucky, who those guys really helped with the custom celebration that we just had on Joe Customs. And I've been sick. I was basically sick with a different ailment every weekend during that celebration. So thanks for that. And thanks to you guys for putting this all together. And Dave, thank you so much for recording it.
You're welcome.
And I hope things get better for Gary.
Well, Gary's fine. Everyone, Gary is fine.
He's not here, and it makes me sad. I mean, Chuck 2. Yeah, Chuck 2's not here.
About to say, now we'll cut away to being held in a isolated booth, Chuck. Dave Draper, shout out.
Well, first I want to give a shout out to you guys at What's on Joe Mind for having me back so soon. I really appreciate it. Always. I do. I really appreciate, you guys having me on and enjoy talking to you guys. I mean, I like talking about G.I. Joe. I love talking about G.I. Joe. I don't get to do it enough on my own show because we have to cover everything.
You hear that, Duvall? You hear that, Duvall? He ain't listening.
I do want to give a shout out to Jason. Jason and Doss, my co-conspirators on Damon Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, good friends and cool to work with. I want to give a shout out to Chuck. You know, when we recorded last week, we did the one that didn't happen. We ended up talking for like 3 or 4 hours, and it was a great conversation, and I really enjoyed it. So shout out to Chuck. And I don't know. There's probably. Oh, I don't want to give a shout out to Eric Aranya. More another apology for dissing his hard work on this year's JoeCon set inadvertently.
He takes it in stride, don't worry.
He does amazing work, and I feel really, really bad about that. And he agreed. I think we all agree it was the paint. It was those monsters at Paint Apps that ruined his hard work. But yeah, I really appreciate that he took that in good humor. So.
Really, I didn't think I was setting you up for anything there.
Well, you finally have me on again, and then I go and insult your other guest. I mean, typical. You can't take me anywhere. I'm a monster.
True. It is. We really should stop trying to dress you up and take you out.
I know. Just let me slink back into my little basement.
Justin.
I don't know. How do I follow up with that?
I know.
Exactly. Follow that.
Draper has stolen our program right out from under our nose.
Well, I got to give a shout out to Dave because he's twice in a row now come up on short notice, and tonight actually doing the recording for us when I couldn't figure out how to use Pamela. So thank you for that. Shout out to Boss Fight again for getting the site launched and getting things ramped up for New Jersey Collectors Con, and shout out to the guys putting on New Jersey Collectors Con. I'm hoping to be there this weekend and looking forward to checking it out. It's always a good time. Guys like Fran and Kevin Watts and Jim Butel, who shows up there all the time, and Brian Kaufman, who we've mentioned before. I'm expecting to see all of them there this weekend, so I'm excited to get down there and check that out.
Kevin's supposed to have some new ones up.
Excellent.
And I will finish up with shout-outs, of course. Start out with our sponsors. Of course, Kokomo Toys, JoeArmory.com, Dallas Vintage Toys, all the cool stuff, Big Bad Toy Store, and Yorkside Toys. Give a shout-out to Gary and to Chuck, who are missing again. We, of course, will eventually catch up with everyone and get everybody in the same room one more time. I swear you won't have to hear me stumble through hosting too many more programs with no show notes. It's amateur hour on What's on Joe Mind these last couple episodes. But and of course, give a shout out to our man Arun, who appears to be recovering nicely from some eye issues that he was having. Glad to see that we're seeing pictures on Twitter and Facebook and all kinds of stuff, and it's just good that he's recovering well from that. Those anything with your eyes always gets me all kinds of nervous. So was really thinking of you the last couple of weeks, and if unless anyone's got something else, I'll wind up the show as Gary always does. To all of our men and women serving overseas, God bless, Godspeed, and come home safe. As puts another one on the ice, thank you for listening to
What's on Joe Mind.
All right, only 2 seconds.
So what time is it? Is it Mambo time?
Didn't even get to Mambo time. Didn't even have Mambo time. You blew through my news segment. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Good night. Night.
Night.
That's it for this episode. You can talk to us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. You can call or text us at 262-515-9656. Just because the show is over doesn't mean the fun ends. Join us on Twitter during the week. Head on over to our Podbean site and find our Twitter profiles on the right-hand side of the page. As always, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Host bios, community forum threads, and archive episodes, along with everything else with our show, can be found on our webpage, whatsonjoemind.podbean.com. Visit and bookmark it today. Download our show at iTunes, InsidePulse.com, and Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it for free in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio and What's On Your Mind, we're the smarter way to listen to radio. Check out GeekCastRadio.com for other great podcast shows such as Movie Week in Review, GCR and Retro, Tooncast Beyond, and Mass Mayhem. Go to GeekCastRadio.com and unleash the geek in you today.